This is Sermunition Sunday, number 6, Meditations Intended to Equip the Church Militant for Spiritual Warfare. And I am the warrior priest, Donovan Riley. In the name of Jesus, amen. A 2019 NBC News Wall Street Journal poll found that nearly 4 out of 5 American adults said that self-fulfillment is key to the good life, while a distinct minority believed that religion, patriotism, and having children are an important part of life. But is this surprising? For anyone who pays attention to pop culture, is this surprising? Of course not. This is not surprising, especially when you take into account that people, including Christians, have been taught their whole lives that the highest good is a life free from suffering. People have been taught their whole lives that the goal of life, the goal that we strive to attain and achieve throughout our life, is to live without pain, without illness, without disease, without affliction, without trials and temptations. The highest good is a life free from suffering. That other people are responsible for their emotional well-being and their health. That they are a victim of forces outside their control. That they are not responsible for the evils that afflict their homes and schools and society. So this being the case, is it surprising to anyone that if they have been taught this about life, that the goal of life, the highest achievement that one can accomplish in life, is to live free from suffering? Is it then surprising if they have been taught a faith at all, that faith without tears is the true faith? That Christianity without tears is the correct expression of the Christian faith? But without tears, without being willing to suffer, even die for Christ's sake, faith is just hypocrisy. Without tears, without suffering and pain, without being led to die for Christ's sake in the midst of trials and afflictions, faith is just hypocrisy. It's just a search for comfort. Ask yourself, are there 3 values, just 3 values as a Christian that I am ready to die for? This is where you will see for yourself, depending on how honestly you answer the question, where you stand in relation to those who are serious about their faith and those who are not. Or to look at it another way, one of Jesus' hardest commands in the Gospels is to bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, many of you may find it difficult, if not impossible, to be charitable to a sales clerk who's rude to you, or to someone who cuts you off in traffic. Few of you would be able to love someone responsible for your losing your job, or worse, being blacklisted in your profession so that you cannot even find a job. You can't even be hired. And how rare is it that someone can find love for a person who deliberately and repeatedly inflicts harm on them or their loved ones? So what about you? What about you? Do you justify your lack of charity towards those who wrong you by saying, "But I go to church to worship. I'm generally a good person. And considering the circumstances, how could I have acted any other way?" But God doesn't care that you go to church on Sunday. He doesn't care that you think of yourself as a generally good person. Jesus is not satisfied with mere church going and petty excuses. He wants you to live for Him in all times and in all places. When Jesus baptizes you in His name, He claims the whole of you, body, soul, mind, all that is you, all that is sinful you, all that is tempted you, all that is excuses and alibis and justifications. He baptizes all of it in his name. He forgives it all so that he may claim all of you and all of your life, all that is your vocations, all that is of this world. He claims all of it because he wants you to live for him in all times and in all places. So when someone is rude to you or cuts you off, when someone gets you fired and deliberately hurts you, Jesus is giving you the gift of suffering. Your pain and your injury is a gift to God for the sake of other people. What you are going through, all of it, is so that you can help others, love others, sacrifice for others as Jesus has sacrificed for you, and most especially, so that you may help the church and love the church and sacrifice as Christ has for his bride, the church. Christ gives you everything that you have. Everything that you have is from him in the way of gift. And now that you face difficulty, now that you face struggles and trials and afflictions, now that you experience pain and suffering because of him, now that you are called on to profess your faith in him, are you going to pretend that you don't believe? Are you going to run away in fear and cowardice? Are you going to pretend that Jesus has not called you through baptism to be a beloved child of God, a brother and sister of Christ? You are chosen. You are chosen to suffer for Christ's sake in order to teach you to love. Because there can be no true love, no unconditional, limitless, measureless, self-sacrificing love without pain and suffering. Now, to be clear, there is nothing in the Gospels that requires Christians to seek out suffering. The Word of God is not a prescription for masochism. But the life of Christ, as well as the Old Testament's example of the prophets, compels you to accept that suffering, when received in faith, is a gift. And that you are infinitely more blessed by the persecutions and the injustices that you have to suffer than you could be if you hide away in your houses with the covers pulled up over your head, so that you can hide from the world, avoiding the inevitable pain and suffering that others will cause you. The price you pay to become a baptized child of God is a privilege to pay. I don't know if you are aware of this, but America is changing. Western civilization is changing before our eyes. And just as Western civilization is imploding, so too is Christianity and the Christian churches in the West. Things are going to get harder for believers. The months and the years to come will not be kind to the Christian church or to Christians. And we see it, we hear it already. The sign of the times is that today's discussions about politics and religion, economics, everything that comes out of the mouths of corporate media and the cult of celebrity is negative. But for Christians, there is always reason to hope. There is always a reason for hope, which for you is not the same thing as optimism. Optimism tells you everything's going to be okay. Everything will improve. Everything will go back to normal if you just comply, if you just obey and go along with things. But then again, it might not. Optimism had no place in Gethsemane. Jesus was about to endure a trial that took his life. He was about to go to the cross to die for the sin of the world, to bear your sin for you and because of you, to bear the sins of all people in all times and at all places, for them and because of them. And so too have all of the martyrs and confessors of the church's faith throughout its history. Christians do not lean into optimism. Instead, they lean into hope. Because hope, in contrast to optimism, tells you that even if you are called to surrender everything, even your life for the sake of Christ, God will redeem your sacrifice. He will raise you from the dead to the resurrection of eternal life. He will welcome you to the table, to the feast of the Lamb in His kingdom. So that even if overwhelming optimism in the present moment is bad, it's a bad bet, you still have every reason to hope, because you are a baptized child of God. You, Jesus calls brother and sister. You are a believer. You are a brother and sister to Jesus. You are a baptized child of our Heavenly Father. So now, you are on the path walked by generations of believers since the 12 apostles. It is the way of all baptized children of God. It is the way of the cross, the way of pain and suffering. It is the way of sacrifice for the sake of the other. It is the way of pain and suffering for the sake of Jesus. And the way is steep. The way is filled with adversity and struggle and affliction. But to take up your cross is the way of faith. It is the path that Christ has led you along since your baptism in His name. It is the path that He has led you along the whole way up until now and into the future. And for this reason, He will not leave or abandon you now, because He has promised to be faithful, loving, and kind toward you, not just for a moment, but today and always. So while others fight for the right to be unhappy and falsely optimistic, you are chosen to suffer for Christ's sake. You are chosen to suffer in order to deepen your faith in Jesus, who alone is your God and your Savior, who alone is your good physician and none other. You are chosen to suffer and endure pain to deepen your faith that Jesus alone is your God and Savior, and to deepen your love for other believers, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus' love for you is the mortar. It's the cement, the glue that binds you to each other and to God. And suffering for His sake is the proof test and the gift that leads to the resurrection and to eternal life. In the name of Jesus, in the waters of baptism in which He claimed you, all of you as His own, as He leads you and guides you all the way into the resurrection, He will not leave or abandon you. He will not give you over to false hope or worldly optimism. He will not allow you to be defeated by false gods and saviors, by those who claim to be the good physician when they are so obviously not. Instead, you have been chosen to suffer for Christ's sake. You have been given the gift of suffering for Jesus' sake to teach you love, love for God, love for one another, because true love, unconditional, measureless, limitless love is forged in the fires of pain and suffering for the sake of faith, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of this sinful, evil world. So that in the end, you may stand shoulder to shoulder with Christ on the battlefield, the wreckage of time under the banner of His resurrection to eternal life. and so that you may confess into the mouth of sin and death and evil that Christ's love for you is the mortar that binds you to one another. It binds you to God. It anchors you to the resurrection of the dead to eternal life. And that this present suffering is nothing but a proof test, a gift that leads to the resurrection to eternal life. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.